Good morning and welcome. This is Mike Harris, recording on VeteransToday.com, also on FreedomSlips.com. Today is Monday, April 24th, 2016, but you'll be hearing this show on Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. Today we have a special guest, Benjamin Fulford. And so, Ben, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Fine. It's April 25th here already, by the way.
Okay, well, good. So I'm not actually inaccurate. That's good. Anyway, just wanted to invite you on. There's a lot going on in your area of the world, particularly the Korean Peninsula. But more importantly than what's going on in Korea, I think, is what's going on in Japan, which is not getting any coverage in the USA. Yeah. And I know you and I have been talking about the developments over there over, you know, the recent months. So why don't we start there and work our way around to Korea later? But let's focus on this, because I think this is really critical, particularly if this is going to cut off the banking cartels of cash flow out of Japan.
All right. Well, here's the first thing, though, that you need to understand is that North Korea as a country was established by the Japanese army that, you know, was in China during World War II. So, and since World War II, and North Korea and Korean agents and North Korean agents in Japan have been always cooperating with the CIA as secret enforcers to maintain U.S. rule over Japan. Okay, so that is why the Chinese view North Korea as a U.S. ally. If people don't understand that, they're not going to understand anything about what's going on here. And you know, I've been here 30 years. I've, you know, written 70 books in Japanese. I've talked to all these people for many years. So you know, I'm not just talking about, you know, without serious evidence. So what's been going on is that I've been trying to, for years now, encourage both the Chinese and the Japanese to stop funding the regime in Washington, D.C. And the reason is because, you know, the Khazarian mob, as I call it, has taken over your country, and they've been financing terrorism around the world. And, you know, the United States has been at war almost constantly since the end of World War II. And the view is that we cut off the money until they stop their antisocial behavior around the world. And this time we're coming to another deadline, May 1st, when the Puerto Rico is supposed to go bankrupt, and that could trigger a domino effect that could take down Washington, D.C. And what I want to make very clear is that, I mean, I've put my name forward as the bankruptcy manager for the United States corporation. In other words, I've you know, hand delivered letters to the highest authorities here, saying that if you give me and put me in charge of the economy, I will turn things around in Japan and the U.S. And this is, I want people to understand that when the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia did not disappear. What happened was, you know, a bureaucratic structure that was dysfunctional was dismantled and replaced with something healthier. And the same thing is going to go, I'm pushing for the United States. And, you know, it would be very, very good for the average American person. I think that we could double the median living standard.
Well, Ben, let me interject something here, because what you're saying about Russia, and, you know, I have a data point for you that is of great interest, and that is, since Vladimir Putin took over 18 years ago as the president of Russia, the average life expectancy in Russia has increased by 6.5 years. Life expectancy is the best barometer for improvement in the quality of life. So that's really kudos to Vladimir Putin for what he has achieved there. And if we would get something along those lines, that would help the U.S., because our lifespan in this country has been declining now for the last decade. So it we need to turn around. We need to get things back on track.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that as soon as Trump kicked out the Khazarian oligarchs, literally within a year, standards of living doubled. And I say I use the median as opposed to the average, because median is where half the people are above this level and half the people are below. Average is you take the total and you divide it by the amount of people. So if Bill Gates walks into a room of homeless people, suddenly they're each worth many millions of dollars, but they're still homeless people. That's why I use the median. Well,
if Bill Gates walks into a room of homeless people, and you know he's the 100th out of 99, the value of the individuals in the room has gone up, even though it hasn't changed for those who are homeless, because Bill Gates skewed the average.
Yeah, and that's what's happening when they put out their statistics in the U.S. Most people are now living third world living standards in the United States because of this Khazarian. Looting of the American people's money. So when I put myself forward as someone to take over the bankruptcy management, the thing would involve, first of all, returning all the money that was stolen from the American people by these criminal Khazarians to them. And that alone, I think, I haven't done the math for a while, but it should be at least $100,000 for every man, woman, child in the U.S., right off the bat. But the other thing is that, what they're doing with Trump is they're trying to kick the can down the road again, and they're trying to sort of, rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic, so to speak. They're not dealing with the fundamental problems. They're not nationalizing the Federal Reserve Board. They're not redistributing the stolen assets. They're not having a jubilee. They're not doing anything fundamental. They're just trying to, keep the system going with a bit more, duct tape and rubber bands. And it's reached the point where you really need to reboot. And this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. And, it can be done in such a way that all the healthy parts of U.S. institutions, remain after this change. It's not going to be as disruptive as people think it will be. But we need to, really drain the swamp, get rid of these pedophile, satanic, blackmailed politicians. We all know who they are, and a lot of them, you may have noticed, have been vanishing one by one, and they will continue to do so until they're all gone. There is a campaign against them. You can see it now. George Soros is gone. Nicolas Sarkozy is gone. Tony Blair is gone. George Bush Sr. had to go into the hospital to avoid arrest. Who else is gone? John Kerry, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen the Clintons. George Soros is gone. This is happening. And it's going to continue to happen until these people step aside. There's just too many of us now for them to bribe or assassinate to stop it. It's just reached the critical mass. They can't do it anymore. But the more the point is that we need to think about it's always easy to be against something. I remember this leftist lady, activist came to me one day and said, what should I oppose now? And I think,
sorry, that's funny.
What should I support? It's easier to criticize someone for spilling a glass of milk than it is to figure out how to put the milk back in the glass, So what I'm saying is we all know the system is dysfunctional and we all know the problems, but we need to start thinking seriously about what to do next, constructive, plans for rebuilding the system. And that's, what I've proposing, to do, to get some of the best brains in the world to help reboot the United States by copying best practices from around the world. Right now, your economy is controlled by a very small group of oligarchs who use foundations and cross shareholdings to control the Fortune 500 companies, and they are the general real source of your power, as is. But with the death of the apex of this whole system, David Rockefeller, there's a huge rank at the top now, that and it's a perfect opportunity to really make big changes. And that's what I'm pushing for, and that's, you know, what I've been trying to convince the Chinese and the Japanese, your main creditors, to support. So all this fuss about North Korea is really about whether or not Japan and the powers that be out here decide to, you know, finally make a break with the Washington, D.C. establishment. That's what's really going on here.
Let's talk about it a little bit, because if there is a pending bankruptcy, you know, Puerto Rico could be the first domino, let's just say that. But if there is a pending bankruptcy, and if USA Incorporated goes bankrupt and can no longer establish credit or service its debts, you know, there's two possibilities if it goes into receivership. One of them is that the power structure that be remains as debtor in possession. The other one is that the creditors take over and become the creditor in possession. You know, any insights on this is to, you know, because there's a lot of leverage in both of these positions. There's a lot of power.
The first of all, the creditors have the ability to keep financing things. Mm-hmm. The creditors, in this case, have the control of the U.S. military industrial complex, which then waged war around the world. And so it's a Mexican standoff unless both sides agree.
Well, wait. Hypothetically, let's say that the U.S. government shuts down, can't print money, doesn't have the ability to make payroll. How long do you think this military machine that the U.S. has got is going to stay together? Because if these guys aren't getting paychecks, and if they're deployed out in the field and their wife is at home on the base in the U.S. And no money's coming in, And they can't afford to go buy, you know, milk, bread, and eggs for the kids, it's going to get pretty dicey out there pretty fast.
Yeah, which is why I've consistently told the Chinese and the Japanese to make sure that all the U.S. Forces overseas continue to receive their paychecks during the transition. And inside the United States, what I've recommended is that you make contingency plan for shutting down the banking system and rebooting it. There are technocrats who could do it better than me. I'm not a detail guy. I'm a sort of forest guy, not a tree guy. But, you know, something like shut it down, you know, and then in the meantime, give everybody enough cash and make sure the logistics are there for everybody to get their gasoline and food and everything during the transition. And reboot it. And the things that need to be removed once it's rebooted, the first thing is you need to go into the financial industry and take out all the fraud. That means the supercomputer stock trading, the Forex trading, all that stuff that's been going on. For example, there's more than 1,000 times more volume in Forex trading every day than there's actual need for foreign exchange, i.e. people getting traveler's checks to go to France or somebody, you know, paying for cars from Japan or something. This is what foreign exchange is supposed to be about, but it's become a humongous parasitic casino. Same with the stock market. It's not in tune with reality anymore. And this is the sort of thing that needs to be fundamentally changed. And the same thing, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again, you need a jubilee, a one-off cancellation of all debt, public and private, and you need a redistribution of assets. It's like they had the land reform. You need the same thing now, but it has to be with assets and, to some extent, real estate in the cities. Okay, everybody should, you know, it could be done in such a way that everybody becomes the owner of where they live. And you can use government money from a nationalized Federal Reserve Board to pay equivalent in rent to people who rely on rental income for their living. This can be done. What people need to understand is that the financial system is not reality. Reality is people, it's land, it's buildings, it's factories, it's know-how. And the financial system, even if the dollar disappeared, the stock market was shut down, people would still be there. Agricultural land would still be there. Food would still be there. All the real stuff would still be there. It's just the system of how to exchange it would be reformed. and it would be reformed to make it much better. This is a thing we need to get working on.
Well, how do we get the banking cabal to the banking cartel to cooperate with this? I mean, do the Chinese and the Japanese have to call the note and then put them on an allowance? You know, you're used to spending, you know, so many billion a month. We're going to only give you you know, a third of that, you know, 40% of that in order to run things with.
The thing is, for the United States, the main issue is to ensure a continued flow of oil from the Middle East to keep everything going. The rest, if you declare, like, okay, we declare bankruptcy, saying, sorry, we can't pay our bills anymore, all right, maybe suddenly, you know, you won't be able to buy trinkets from China at Walmart. But, you know, so what? I'm sorry, it's not that important. You know, it can be done. But you know, you have to, at some point, you have to go cold turkey and say, okay, enough's enough. We have to reboot. And the United States declared bankruptcy. It would force, you know, the as I've said repeatedly, the United States military would be financed around the world, but they would be, you know, over time, their activities would be switched to some, you know, something more productive, like helping the planet and not just stealing resources for Khazarian oligarchs, which a lot of them do without knowing it. You know, for example, the Chinese want to build a set of highways and railways all over Africa. And right now you have the U.S. military creating these fake terrorist armies to try to stop the Chinese from building these roads and highways. Instead, they should be paid by the Chinese to protect these roads and highways and even get a pay rise, you know. And then also, you know, redeploy special forces to stop the poachers from killing, you know.
The rhinos and the elephants, everything else, yeah.
You know, in other words, you know, do stuff that's actually helpful for the planet and not just be, you know.
Not just be thugs and collection agents, racketeers, yeah.
Yeah, like Commander Butler said, you know that's not what the U.S. military wants to be, and that's not what the American people expect of them. The other big thing that has to be dealt with is the right now we have a situation where you have white hats in the U.S. military who are trying to shut down the international drug trade by force. And that's just not going to work. There's too much money involved, and there's it's $2 trillion a year, my estimate of the value of the drug trade, the illegal drug trade, and that's about three times the official U.S. military budget. What you need to do is legalize it and regulate it to minimize the damage and make sure
Ben, you know, I've been advocating that position for a long time, and that is legalize it and take the profit motive out of it.
Yeah, and that way you can, for example, in the North Korean case, it's the big amphetamine thing that they've been doing with the CIA forever. And then it used to be the Golden Triangle was where they did the heroin, but now that's shifted to Afghanistan.
Well, just as an example, the cost to manufacture a gram of cocaine is about 7 cents, but it sells on the street for close to $100. Yeah. So it gives you an idea as to what the profit motive is when things are, you know, over 1,000% or 10,000% profit right there. It's highly motivated. So I agree. Let's legalize it, regulate it, and take 90% of the profit motive out.
Yeah, and then people have been consulting me about the Middle East and what to do about the situation there. And again, you know, first of all, the whole world has to tell these religious fanatics in Israel and elsewhere that there's not going to be a war between Gog and Magog, and there's not going to be a situation where at the end of it, every Jew will have 2,800 slaves working for them. It's just not going to happen. And wake up from that dream. It's just not going to happen, folks. Sorry, you know. This is what these Chabad or these fundamentalist wacko Zionists secretly believe. It's not even secret. It's out there. So we got to, first of all, you know, make sure these people understand, no, it's not an inevitable prophecy from God. It's a mass delusion, okay? We got to stop these people. And then if you look at the Middle East, map on the ground and historically and linguistically. What you can see is a solution seems to be possible right now, where you basically divide the Middle East into three spheres of influence. One is the Turks, the Turkish area, maybe you know, expanding a little bit in their borders. Next would be Persia, which would include the Shia areas of Lebanon and Syria and Iraq. And the other would be Arab, which would be the Sunni areas and Egypt. And you could have three large, stable blocks with, you know, people like Assad operating as autonomous rulers within that. And you could stabilize this situation. And the United States military has been fighting in Saudi Arabia against Yemen and Iran, not for ideological reasons, but simply to make sure that they keep getting their oil for their machines. And so we've got to make sure that the oil flows to the people who need it, and that the oil income is all divided up, you know, according to, you know, fair. I mean, there's going to be some horse trading to go on, but, you know, we're going to have to figure that out. You know, how much do the Russians get? How much do the Iranians get? How much do the Arabs get? You know, and make sure that the U.S. military industrial machine gets oil. And you know, it can all be worked out. It's not an insolvable problem. And the brainwashed Europeans who think they came from a country called Judea that existed 3,500 years ago can be allowed to continue to live their, you know, lifestyle down in Israel if that's what they want, and in peace, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do. Tell them to quit killing their neighbors.
Yeah. Quit thinking you're about to take over the world and that they're, you know, they're in a God-driven mission. And we need to, of course, the other thing is that we need to go into Zug, Switzerland, and into the BIS and all these sort of top ruling nodes and you know, do a final clean. Okay, I've been hearing new names like Rosenberg, Cabot family, Eisenberg, not just Rothschilds and stuff, but the other names are popping up now and you can see they're running out of people. Like in the United States, they had to go, you know, this Jared Kushner guy is in his 30s because the older generation has been shunted aside. Now in France, they got this guy called Macron who was a Rothschild banker, you know, pulled out of nowhere. I doubt his real name is Macron. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was actually a member of this Rothschild family complex. And they're trying to steal an election to try to somehow keep their little thing going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's very important is the election on April 29th of a new head for the Knights of Malta.
Now, yes.
And one level is just 60 old men, you know, who are part of a charitable organization. But in reality, these are the people who have controlled the Western agencies and militaries, you know, at the highest level. I noticed when I went to Italy to meet the P2 Lodge, and, you know, the person who was fired, I'm just trying to pull up his name, it's Festin, was one of the people behind the 311, the Fukushima attacks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been removed, and hopefully that whoever they choose on April 29th will be in favor of a real, you know, world change, like a jubilee and a huge campaign to end poverty and stop environmental destruction and a new balance between East and West. It's something that it's within our grasp, and we're down to a few individuals. You know, it's really getting to that point where as more and more of these old power brokers have vanished, there's a vacuum, and we need to do this in a transparent manner, not in behind closed doors, and we need to get, you know, the thinking people of the planet all to put on their thinking caps and make sure we come up with the best possible solution and not descend into, you know, French Revolution type chaos, which is what can happen. If you look at Egyptian or other dynastic history, and you have some king who's been around for 70 years and suddenly dies, there's inevitable chaos because nobody remembers how transitions are made.
They seem to forget.
Now that David Rockefeller is gone, this is the sort of situation we find ourselves in. And these different people pushing to become the new pharaoh, you know, and this could lead to warfare and turning and chaos unless it's handled in a coherent and open manner with, you know, everybody in on what's going on. Everybody who's, you know, paying attention. A lot of people are too busy with their fantasy world on the internet or whatever to you know, matter. I'm sorry to say, but, you know, they just... They're not paying attention, then that's their problem, you know?
Yep, I agree. So, all right, these are the domestic issues within the U.S. I think what we're seeing in Korea is a symptom. I don't think it's really the prime cause. Yeah. And I think what Trump is doing, you know, I mean, you look at how he was with Syria. He had a strike. Nobody anticipated it. Here it is. He launches 59 cruise missiles, spends $100 million. Bang, it's done. It's over. But Korea, he's going through a lot of showmanship, a lot of stagecraft here. He's sending three carrier groups. He called all the senators to the White House for a briefing. All of this posturing, it seems like, what's your take on the play acting that's going on, the setup that's coming for Korea?
It's bluster. I mean, I think, you know, the RAND Corporation and Raytheon, all these sort of military industrial complex think tanks. I remember years ago, they said, well, to help the U.S. economy, they need to pick a fight with a medium-sized country, like maybe Brazil or Japan. You know, this is an actual RAND Corporation recommendation, you know, as a way of helping the U.S. economy. So I think that there's a group of these people who have been part of this, you know, military industrial thing that's been going on ever since Eisenhower warned us about it, but saying, I think picking a fight with North Korea is what would help avoid our bankruptcy. And that would, in a sense, also involve picking a fight with, in fact, China and Japan, because they are behind North Korea, not to mention a large fraction of the CIA who are also involved, you know. So it's not what they think it is. And North Korea does have submarines off the U.S. coast. They can, you know, destroy U.S. cities, but they won't because it's not going to be allowed to happen. Okay, I've heard from Illuminati grandmasters that a fundamental decision has been to say they're not going to let people use nukes in this situation. And I think with only with three nuclear weapons that are now able to be deployed around the world. These are the ones that were stolen from the Russian submarine Kursk in the year.
Yes, I remember that. No, but the issue is that Korea wouldn't, or North Korea wouldn't even have to strike a U.S. city. All they have to do is detonate a nuclear device 50 miles up in the atmosphere right off the West Coast. It'll take out everything west of the Mississippi on the power grid. The EMP pulse alone would shut the U.S. down for decades.
Yeah, and they've already demonstrated they have ballistic missile technology to reach anywhere in the U.S. Look, the fact is that the North Korean nuclear program is really a Japanese nuclear program, and the Japanese have been sending, you know, things to space and whatever for decades. I think it was Boris Yeltsin who once admitted that the Japanese told only top leaders that they had 5,000 nuclear-tipped missiles, okay? So, in other words, this is not going to be something they're going to be able to solve with war. It's got to be through talking. Because, of course, everybody, you know, they no matter how many times they do the situation, is if they try all-out nuclear war, 90% of humanity dies and the northern hemisphere becomes uninhabitable. And nobody wants that to happen except for these Khazarian fanatics who think that's their Gog and Magog scenario. And we've got to remove these people whenever we find them. Got to get rid of them. They're dangerous to the planet, you know. In other words, setting up a new, better system to replace the core system, you know, improve it, reboot it, and rebalance it. That's what we got to do. I think that the Rothschild efforts with the carbon trading and the Paris Agreement